Another week, another parallax view with two insane people rambling on about stuff. But you don't like when I write ramblings, no? But it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I think that we should valorize what we do. I think they're rambling is a pejorative term. And I think what we do is beautiful, Tom. I think it's a thing of beauty, so I wouldn't
it's
want
a
to call
beautiful
it.
Ramble. That's
I wouldn't
what it
want
is.
To, I wouldn't want to. I guess maybe it's more like flaning, like the flaneurs in Paris, that stroll, the poets who are flaneurs. They.
Yeah.
I'd rather be flaneurs than ramble.
Like a bohemian or something.
Something like that, yeah. Something a bit more
Yeah.
elevated culturally than rambling.
No, but I write this as a description because, you know, we have our, you know, more earnest, more professional podcast with people like, you know, the one that you just did with Viveki. But I always feel this is like more playful, more experimental, more bullshitty. It's like, that's what I mean. It's like I'm talking. There's a saying, you know, to talk out of one's ass. You know, it's like,
yeah. It's a we're bringing together the high and the low, as I say.
Again, yes.
The tits in the ass and the high abstraction.
So yeah, and so then I was thinking about elders, and I thought maybe we can talk about elders because, you know, the context for it was that I realized so you know that the globe, the Earth. It's like a big, at least the West, you know, it's like always, you know, be careful with who you talk about. But it's like in the West, it's like the West is like a big classroom, right? And then you have like the elders. And imagine like in 15 years, tops, you know, who will be gone? I mean, just by law of biology, you know, it's like Scorsese will be gone. Woody Allen will be gone. Clint Eastwood will be gone.
Bob
Pacino
Dylan
will
will be
gone.
Gone.
Robert De Niro will be gone,
and all
you
these
know.
people are already gone on some level. I mean, some of them are vital,
no, but they're still
people.
there, they're still
a lot of
elders,
them are sort of no longer really there, they're just sort of half there. Yeah,
but they're still like a cultural voice. Clint Eastwood still makes movies.
Yeah,
there's still raging dialogue about the you know, it always flares up, the dialogue of Woody Allen kind of molested you know,
yeah.
his. So, and so it's like there's like a whole slew of elders that we, you know, we grew up with, basically, you know, with the Scorsese movies, with, you know, Clint Eastwood movies, and even in music, the Rolling Stones. I mean, Mick Jagger will be gone. I mean, the day Paul McCartney dies, that will be a day of, I would say, global sadness and sorrow, because I mean, that's just, it doesn't get any bigger. And he's still there. He still makes music, and it's like, but 15 years, he will be. All of them will be gone, and so that will leave like a whole void. And then the next generation will of elders will move in. But I wonder, and that was my thinking. So I wonder what will that do. And I'm not even talking about the philosophers. I'm just talking about entertainment and music and film industry right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about art and philosophy, but. What will that do to our Western society if that, you know, if that slew of elders will be gone?
That's a great,
I mean, it's,
great thing to contemplate, actually. Yeah. And, you know, I think of it two ways. I think of it's like, yeah, clearing out the deadwood, wonderful, a new space will open up for new kinds of expression and authority. And we're maybe we're too attached to the icons. And Zach was saying in his course, he was talking about America being a gerontocracy.
Yeah.
You know, we have Trump and Biden, these old people that are ruling the world. And except he said that in the American family, on the other hand, there's absolutely no respect for elders. Like the teenagers is always like yelling down the father, and you know, they live in different worlds. That, you know, the teenagers totally digitalized, the father is in another kind of world, and that actually, like, the elder who sat at the table and told stories, and the children who had some reverence for that, is mostly gone in American culture, right?
Right.
It's probably a little bit more present in the more traditional European societies, but also there are younger politicians in Europe, strangely enough, even though but anyway, that's another thing. So what would a true elder be? Like, I think a true elder would be somebody who's not famous for his work that he did in the 60s. You know, somebody like, for example, I'm very fond of Nick Cave as an artist, and he's still making vital work, and you could even argue that his later work is as vital as his early work. So that's like an elder to me, right? So, whereas I don't know, Mick Jagger is still jumping around in tights and he's 80. It's kind of embarrassing. Even though he's got a kind of chutzpah, I like him still, and you know, he did a great song with Lady Gaga, but
Yeah,
I
but
think
I
an
mean,
elder
like,
has to be vital. Elders have to be vital. They have to be alive, not sort of hollowed out versions of what they once were.
Scorsese, he still has something to
Oh
say,
yeah.
still makes music,
He's an
Clint
elder.
Eastwood, and I mean, then again, Habermas's 100, Noam Chomsky is approaching 100, and so I mean, these two people, at least Habermas, at least in the German discourse, when he says something, everybody writes about this because of Frankfurt School, because his attachment to German history, and the same goes for Chomsky and the 60s and the Israel-Palestine conflict and everything. So they act still as elders, and they're like this kind of memory bank, which is alive, which is, so the shamanic memory bank that the society has, when in the moment when they're gone, we lose something entirely, a whole way of looking at the world.
Well, when every old person dies, we lose something like a memory bank, right? And yeah, probably the we that's probably those people are probably very important. I mean, the weakness of the culture probably is that it's that we don't like allow all the people to tell stories. We put them away in a home somewhere. You know, that's the weakness of the culture. So when there's still other people around who have vital voices, they're very important, or they should be important at least. And
And it's interesting, so Alexander Bard had the last session of the Process and Event seminar last night, and so I had like and he talked about the relationship with the what he calls the Tower of God. So about our limitations as human beings, biologically speaking, and what that means, and the relationship our finitude has with AI, for example. And he's something that really was interesting, that that probably in the first time in human history ever, we are at the point where we as a human species might die, right, and might perish, let's say, in the course of 5,000 years, 500 years, 50,000 years, doesn't really matter. But that now with AI, we have a technological offspring that will continue, that will go on, maybe to infinity. So even if we as biological species are lost, for the first time really in human history, our culture, our ideas, our perspectives will not be lost, and they will go out and probably in space, and they can be there for millennia and populate the space and be, create avatars of our perspective, can create, our recreate and reproduce our perspectives. And so that was utterly fascinating, because imagine, and then I was thinking, so like, imagine, so you have in 200,000 years, you have a seminar out of avatars who is embodying, elders, Hegel and Habermas and all these people, reproduced via AI,
So
you know?
they'll be sort of virtual archetypes
Yeah,
that have been, only the
exactly.
virtual archetypes will remain. Everything else will have
Right.
died out,
Yeah,
right? So
yeah.
they'll be just like Socrates having a conversation with Nietzsche, who's having a conversation with
Right.
Habermas,
Yeah, and so they have
and
like
Mick
this and
Jagger is playing guitar
right.
or
And
singing,
so
or
our personal, our biological archetypes and elders might perish, but they already, while they're here, they're already shaping the archetypes and the digital archetypes from the future and the digital avatars. He didn't say this exactly like this. I was just, having my own thoughts to this. But I mean, I found it utterly fascinating what that, how we relate to elders, what that does to our Western global classroom, let's say, and what that means in the long term, you know, in like 20,000 years, 200,000 years, 500,000 years.
Well, Zach was talking about, like, we're not really aware of the new tech that's coming in because it's going to be fucking crazy. I mean,
right.
It really is going to be something beyond our imagination. We don't even know what it is. But he was talking about the Apple goggles. You know, and if you have your phone, you still have a distance from your phone. You're looking, you know, they're highly addictive. And you know, they're like crack cocaine for children. And, you know, and they're just, you know, causing all these social issues, right? Because people are addicted to Instagram. And anyway, that's been talked about ad nauseum by Jonathan Haidt and others, and just the side effects of that particular, of the cell phone technology. But the new, like, let's say goggles you put on, they're kind of clunky, they're kind of ugly, they're like one of those old Nokia phones, right? But they're not there yet, right, in terms, but they are there in terms of Apple's actually released one. So this is version one of the iPhone, right? And and what it is and there's going to be no controls for it for children, whatever. You just put it on your head and you're on a mountain, you know. You're in a tropical, you're there, like they're so good already. It's this is what people who are saying who have tried them, that is absolutely shocking. What happens when, you know, you want to fix your car, they'll just, you know, give you instructions while you're fixing it, whatever, you know, or you're doing surgery, or you don't have to go to the doctor anymore because all the information's just there, and, you know. Anyway, when they become sort of transparent to us, and, you know, like just ordinary glasses or something like that, when
or
they
contact
become
lenses,
like,
or whatever,
or contact lenses, when they, you know, in a bit longer contact lenses, when they become like that, the possibilities, both the demonic and the you know, the practical usefulness of it, both simultaneous, the destructive potential of that, is like giving everybody, it's like, oh, giving everybody LSD like Timothy Leary did, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to this new tech that's coming in, and even compared to the internet, right? So, you know, Leary said that the internet is LSD, but this is really, you know, whatever's coming. So it's just, you know, kids are gonna play around with it, and, you know, there's no laws because the tech companies.
I think the
are
scary
so
thing is that there is a big disconnect between that what is being released as new AI and new technology and that which is developed right now. And so because there's like at least a gap between, you know, 25, 50 years between these
huge gap.
Things. And so it's like we get the tail end of, you know, the developments, but the huge chunk, it's not, you know, available to the public.
Yeah, exactly. AI has been around for a long time, really, but it just become a public thing recently. And these new technologies are, you know, scary to say the least, in terms of what they're going to do to people and who they're going to be.
Just,
but there's also the question of, like, just one more thing, and then it's a question of, you know, again, education. What is education when we have, when you can download all of Socrates' text into an AI, and then he could be, Socrates will be your AI
teacher.
Tutor,
yeah,
you know, virtual tutor. Then what's education at that point? It's like Marshall McLuhan said classroom education was over with the TV and the radio, but they're still enacting this sort of, this kind of ritual called education, but it's a dead ritual. It's almost like the way religion is kind of dead. It's like the rituals of education are kind of dead, but they still continue to go on. And the gerontocracy, we're talking about the elders, don't really understand the shit, and the younger people are doing it. And it's a very strange future we're stumbling into.
Yeah, and it's a question like, what will be the function of the elders if the AI is the perfect companion? You know, and the perfect wise, if you have like a tutor which helps you with Bildung and with Socratic discourse or with Hegelian discourse or whatever, what's the use of, you know, the biological elder in that moment, right? And so these are, I find that completely strange.
Yeah, well, is it just going to be
If you have an
is
AI
the
that
elder going
com
to become redundant, or is that what you're saying? Like,
Yeah,
it's
no,
a
it's like if an AI is able to emulate an elder, you know. So
Well, it's kind of the same issue as like if an AI is going to emulate your girlfriend or whatever, right? Or your sex,
yeah, well, I
just have a
still need a
sex toy,
pussy.
and, but you'll still need an elder. But you just because it's everything will be just virtual experiences, right?
Sure.
You can have a pretty you, they'll so they'll be pretty get pretty good at sex dolls. You won't really need a real pussy. You can,
I need a real pussy.
yeah. But you're still one of these human beings
I'm one
from
of
the
those
ancient world,
dinosaurs.
right?
I'm
Yeah,
one of those
we're all
dinosaurs
kind of dinosaurs.
that needs a woman with a cunt and not with a big dick. That's what you know.
Yeah, one of those. Okay, so you think, yeah, maybe, yeah, that's the other. That's another strange issue, is how people will be sexually when biology becomes sort of secondary
Yeah.
to technology, if such a thing is possible. I tend to doubt it is, but
So yeah, Bart had a you know fascinating example in terms of, you know, so imagine you're like a single child, you're nine, you're longing for, you know, an older sister, and like it's not that long till we have an AI that can emulate like an 11-year-old, you know, sister. With all the perspectives that an 11-year-old girl has. And then, you know, the 9-year-old girl can talk to this, you know, AI as if she were talking to a real 11-year-old. And so I mean, that's amazing. You know, that's great. You know, this is one of those things. Or you have a tutor or professor that knows exactly your psychological deep structure in order to teach you something about whatever, let's say Socrates or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
So
but the problem with all that is that
metaphysics,
the problem with all that is the problem with all that is the problem about human evil, right? It's like we're going to turn it into some evil fucking shit. There's no question.
Yeah, Alexander calls this dark sensocracy, you know, when it's turned dark, when it's, you know, there to just you know, observe and control our behaviors instead of, you know, enrich us and enable us to do more things. You know, if it fosters creativity and not what's the word?
More
Stifles it.
mechanicalness,
Yeah,
more of mechanical man. I mean, Gertrude was already talking about mechanical man in the 20s, compared to, let's say, a hunter-gatherer man who could build a house and was pretty alive in his senses, right? He we used to be very al much more alive in our senses, and we've outsourced all our senses to so many different mechanisms, even in the
I
20th
mean, you know
century.
what might be interesting in this kind of conversation that we have, that I mean, we talked about elders, and so what if the elders that we now have, let's say, you know, Chomsky, Habermas, let's call McCartney to that kind of fold, and so what if these are the last analog elders that we will ever have in human history? I mean, it's like analog in the sense, of course, we will have more biological elders, but what if all future elders will already be completely, influenced by AI? So the worldview that, you know, Habermas and McCartney have is completely analog. You know, there's no they grew up the majority
That's
of their
funny.
70 lives without any computer, without any AI. You know, it's like. It's a, so their whole worldview is completely analog. And so what
Wow.
if that's the last time in human history that we will have elders that are 100% analog?
Yeah, that sounds
Because
like
we
a horror to me. But anyway, but I was just over at my neighbor's place last night. My neighbor is an 80-year-old woman, and she got a new remote control for her TV, and she had to associate the remote control with the TV. And she lives all by herself in this house, and she was in a state of terror, you know. It's like, I can't do this. And then her son's coming over who's mentally ill, and if he doesn't have a TV, he's gonna freak out. So I went over there and spend half an hour trying to figure this thing out, how to associate the remote control with the TV. This is something that she would never know how to do, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so like there's, and she's just from another kind of a world, right? It's just, again, it's like I was struck by that. It's like she comes from the world, a pre-digital world. You don't understand any of this stuff. It's like, but then she's living all alone, and her spoiled sons are, you know, working all the time and not taking care of her, and she refuses to be taken away to a hospital. But again, there's something in connection with her, a transmission of talking to older people, which is important, I think. And I think that we're a cruel and barbaric and indifferent society when it comes to old people. It's like, so what you're describing sounds to me like something completely terrible, but maybe I'm just being sort of reactionary. I don't know.
I mean, what I mean is, I'm born 74, right? And so I'm literally the last generation that could be 15 years old or 12 years old and spent the entirety of my summer in the forest by
Oh
the
yeah,
lake.
exactly. Yeah, me
And
too.
so because when I was 16, the computers already, invaded the schools, right? And then the internet started. And so every generation after me doesn't know what it means to be 100% forest. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but to make the point clear. So I didn't grow up with smartphones. I didn't grow up with internet. It's like my baseline conditioning was analog. And so, but then it happens very fast with 16, 17, 18, it was gone. And so, and that's really my point. So we will
Well, we're
never.
the elders, Tom, in that sense,
Yeah,
because
but
we know the
that's.
world before
Yeah,
we know that world before, and
but it
I
is.
think we need to, they need to have people to know that world before, because otherwise this world will be destroy itself.
Yeah, but that's to my whole point. What if the elders that we have now, they lived their whole life analog? I mean, like McCartney and Habermas were both in their 70s, in the 90s, in the aughts, so their whole perspective is analog. That will be the last generation, like de
Of analog.
facto. And
Well,
that is
this is what
interesting.
these glasses that you wear, these iPhone glasses, actually they'll create a simulation of the forest. So you're walking through a simulated version that, you know, next to your retina, your eyeballs. So you're walking in the forest with a simulated version of the actual forest, and then whatever the hell you want happening around you, you
Yeah.
know. You'd be able to augment your perception of whatever is going on. Like you could create a you know, an enormous fire in the middle of the virtual fire in the middle of the forest, which is completely fake.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about digital campfires, but anyway, but it's kind of funny what you're saying, because yes, it's like, imagine that everything is virtual. Like it is really like being in the Matrix. It's like, it's more and more like you're always in the Matrix, right?
No, we
And so it's
are
like
already in the
we're
matrix
already in
with.
the Matrix, yes, but then like but we're not, we still have a distance from it. We can still turn it off, and you know, we can still shut down our, we can't really, but we do, we can still shut down our phones. Like I'm still at a, you know, we still struggle, I struggle with technology personally. It's like I want to, I have to shut it down and go out and go outside and do
But do you
exercises and
know? I
stuff.
mean, it's interesting what you say, because do you know? I mean, again, like from my age, from my personal perspective, do you know? Can you imagine how difficult it is? What a immense cognitive kind of effort you have to take to delete an app like Instagram. I know it's completely silly, but in order, it's like it takes a moment where you have to think about it and then to actually do it, because you're already with your, you know, it's like with your, you're already that connected. To actually, I mean, it's like, sure, I shut off my phone, but not longer than an hour, maybe. It's like, because I need it, you know, I need it to for my social life, right? And to delete Instagram, but like, sure, for me it's an effort, but imagine what an effort it must be like for a 17-year-old girl to delete Instagram, or for a 15-year-old girl to delete TikTok. That is probably impossible by now. Like, from the psychological
On
effort
the other
to
hand,
do this.
in Zach's course, there were one of the younger guys was saying that he brought one of these VR machines, right, to Switzerland and showed it to the friends. And there were two things that the young people actually had this reaction. Is like, no, I don't want this. It's so good, but I don't want it.
No,
Right?
okay.
And they're 25, you know, young people. And
Yeah.
my daughter also doesn't want Instagram. It's very interesting. Like she thinks it's kind of like, I don't want that. Whereas I think of the people who are a bit older get very addicted to it because it's novel and new and
Yeah.
we don't understand it. But I think human beings can kind of like, you know, are going to, there's also, if there's a positive aspect to all this, there's going to be a Hegelian kind of antithesis to the, even though that's not the right word, it's, what is it? Because he didn't use that word, Hegel. He used another word that was a misnomer. The word that is, but anyway, the two, the hyper technologization of the world and the hell that that is creating is going to be countered by an equally strong counter movement, and there's going to be this dialectic between
Yeah.
the two. It's just like right now people are reading Hegel like crazy. This is, you know, in these groups online, which is the most challenging, hard, difficult thing. Who would want to do that? And then there's other people who are hijacked by stupid videos on Instagram. So it's like the extremes are vamping up. I think it was Aurobindo. Yeah, this is another thing that Zach was quoting. Aurobindo says like heaven and hell are in a race with each other, you know,
Yeah.
somehow.
I mean, it's like, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because just in the last couple of weeks, you know, the internet, not the internet, but, you know, it's like my feed is flooded with AI made, completely AI made video trailers for famous movies, right? And so, but it works like this, that you give the AI a prompt, something like, okay, make Batman, or Terminator, 50 style Panavision 70 millimeter,
I saw that one, yeah.
and then the AI makes a complete movie trailer with voiceover, with everything, and it's eerily attractive. And that's the weird thing, that it is eerily attractive because it's so weird. And, you know, it plays, the way the AI, the way it's depicted, plays to the strengths of the theme itself. And so it's like, oh, I would watch that movie, kind of, actually, because of its weirdness, because I've watched so many movies that I kind of know what the palette of human filmmaking is. And to see an AI do it strangely different,
It's a remix of some kind. Yeah, well, I
it's
mean,
weirdly.
it's incredibly creative. You could do all kinds of things, right? It expands the power of creativity. And there is also this sort of human prompt that has to be there, and then you have to be able to understand the irony of it, right? You have to understand the intelligence and the irony of it, otherwise it wouldn't work. So it's not like the human goes away in the process. It
Yeah,
just a
it's
lot
and
of
the
technical things are easier to are and faster. You can do them easier and faster.
yeah, and the thing, it's more, and that goes to the point we had earlier. It's more archetypal sometimes what these trailers depict than, you know, what a human filmmaker would do. I give you an example. So there's a trailer, an AI trailer for a 50s Panavision movie, Gladiator, right? And it's filmed in a way that Ridley Scott would never have filmed it. So you see the Colosseum in one shot, which is like held very dark. Everything, they're like torches, lots of people, and like weird, weird movements in the center. And you see like a cut through, to an emperor, and like lots of people in red robes. And in the middle is Gladio, the Maximus. And so, but these robes, these 20, 40 people, they don't move. They don't move like normal people would move. They move like backwards, like in a David Lynch movie. And with this torch fire atmosphere, it's like, oh no, you feel, archetypally speaking, there has been or there will be a kind of assassination or an intrigue or something that is weirdly subconscious. And it's like weirdly more archetypal, the depiction of anything, a Ridley Scott trailer would convey. And that's the weird thing, that the AI is tapping already more into the archetypal nature of us
Got it, yeah.
than the artist would be able to.
Yeah.
And that is so strange.
Yeah, well, even when you make an image, you can do it in a manga style, or you can do it in a, a 1950s grainy black and white style, or as in the Tetragrammaton podcast, he does all these ads which are 50s style ads for modern products. And the interesting thing is the kind of contrast between this 50s voice and the crackling static and this the crazy way that they talked back then, advertising some hyper modern, new, cool, organic macadamia nuts, or so it's kind of like the contrast, right? It's very interesting. I think maybe it's rap music that invented that kind of. I mean, probably not. Probably you could probably go earlier than that, where you're kind of. It's kind of a sampling thing, isn't it? Your sampling culture. I think your sampling culture, when you make a video and you want it to be in the style of, a painter or a certain kind of
There was
painter, and it comes
a
up with
there,
a
yeah.
remix of Van Gogh or something. It's wild.
There's a famous viral YouTube video from a couple of years back, and it's called Everything is a Remix, and it was about that, really, that from the postmodern point of view, there's nothing new. It's just like you're remixing old themes again and again and again, and you always have. And that was the point of the video, that
That's true too, yeah.
you can't have culture without a remix of, I mean, like Beatles and Bach, for example.
Yeah.
Best
Well,
example.
it there's the illusion of authorship of discrete authorship, right?
Right.
Which is even legally kind of, this is my song and I wrote it. But actually, like, you're part of a lineage of a
Right.
certain style of music, and you're just taking some melody from here and some melody from here, and you're putting it all together. Even if it sounds like a completely original song, it starts off as it comes from, it has so many different sources of culture.
Right.
Like there is no monolithic, or individualistic or discrete, artifact that's art. I guess that's why originally you wouldn't sign a painting, right? Because it was unheard of that a painting would belong to any one person. Like, copyright is kind of like, again, it has its function, but it's a very strange notion if you look at how we really are. If you grok Gurdjieff saying that man is legion, right?
The illusion of the individualism, that there is like one. You have it also in philosophy. It's like if you do philosophy, you're always like in a certain school, in a different branch, in a different heritage you want to conform to. That might be Hegel, that might be Nietzsche, that might be Schopenhauer, whatever. But it's like the topic that chooses you, and the language chooses you. And you can carry
You
that
don't choose
forward,
it. That's the interesting thing, as
and
you
you
it's
carry it forward, but it is like you're not standing alone there. It's like you are part of a certain, specifically in philosophy, like part of a certain school. That's it. You can't
Yeah.
really escape it, even if you try.
Yeah, it's interesting. You and Cadell are having the conversation, and you were saying that or Cadell was saying that, he had this choice between who's the spheres guy, Sloterdijk and Hegel, right? And you had an affinity for Sloterdijk, and he had an affinity for Hegel. And then, so he's a Hegelian philosopher, and you're kind
Schopenhauer.
of.
The discussion was Schopenhauer and Hegel.
No, he said he was. No, it was Sloterdijk, because he said that at one point he had to choose between Sloterdijk and Zizek. That's what it was, Sloterdijk and
Right.
Zizek. And that he became a kind of into Zizek, and you became into Sloterdijk.
Yeah, but with Cadell, he's like more Zizek Hegelian, and I'm more Schopenhauer Sloterdijk. So
There
then,
you
but
go.
these are completely different, let's say, schools or modes of engaging with the world. And it's completely
Right.
fine, but you can't,
Even
because you
though they're
have that.
often antagonistic to each other, right?
And because you have an impetus, you know, it's like, and you don't know, it's like, you know, like a diamond, you know, the Greek one, somebody that, you know, something that is chosen for you. I don't know. It's like something, your philosophical center of gravity, let's say, and you don't choose that. And it's like, and that impetus, that center of gravity, like defines to which school you kind of belong and to what heritage. And it's like the same in music or whatever, right? And so I always found like this attraction and this closeness to that, you know, kind of lineage.
Of course. And yeah, exactly. It's like, personally, I've always been more fond of improvisational Eastern music than the classical tradition, for example. Like, I don't even it just I don't really get classical music. I don't love it. I don't fall in love with it, right? Even though I know it's great. But I, but I can really get into jazz or songs, or whereas my mother's into this weird kind of German opera, Liedenhausen something, and she just loves it. She's absolutely adores it, and I don't understand it at all. Like, it's another language that doesn't move me, or nothing against the Germans or anything.
I can
Anyway.
take it. The Germans invented everything, so I can take it, Andrew.
Oh yeah, they invented rock and roll too.
They invented
Actually, I talked to
everything.
one guy who was trying to convince me that the French invented rock and roll. That really, actually, rock and roll was invented by the French, because they were the guys who went to New Orleans, and this is cultural chauvinism of France, that thinks they invented everything. I guess.
They invented cultural chauvinism, that's for sure.
Yeah, they invented cultural shows, and they invented film, and they invented modern poetry, and. They did invent a lot of things, the French, Germans were, Germans just invented a bunch of arrogant philosophers.
Oh no, that's not true. The Germans invented
I'm
the
teasing,
internet.
I'm teasing. I know it's not true. Yeah. What
Yeah.
else did the
Anyhow.
Germans invent anyway?
Huh?
Hitler. Germans invented Hitler.
Yeah. No, it's, I don't know. It's
You didn't answer my question, Tom. What else did the Germans invent?
Oh no, they invented the telephone, the rockets, the internet, everything.
Oh yeah, they're good engineers, right?
Invented cars, everything.
Cars?
Yeah,
Germans invented
sure.
cars? No, I thought that was the
No, the first one.
first car. Okay. What did the
Yeah.
Canadians invent? I don't know, nothing. Anyway.
Moose fucking maybe.
Hockey,
Okay.
basketball. We invented basketball.
You
Most people
did?
think the Americans, but it was
Yeah.
us. And the telephone and the electricity.
No, not the telephone, also the
Alexander
Germans.
Graham Bell was Canadian. Alexander Graham Bell was
Yeah,
Canadian, not
but
German.
it was invented by German before that.
But we did it. You just
No, that's not
talked
true.
about it. You just philosophized about it.
No. There's a German guy who did it before Alexander Graham Bell. Let me invent
I believe you. I believe you, Tom. I don't need to. I don't need to. I don't need to
invention
f fight
of
about the greatness of the Germans.
German. The greatness of the Germans. Yeah, AD 60, a German called Philipp Reis was the first one who created an apparatus called the telephone that was way beyond before Alexander Graham Bell. There you go.
But the French invented
Baguette, yes.
the baguette, of course, and good cheese. They invented good cheese as well, and fine cuisine, and of all sorts, and of course wine, which was their greatest genius. But the telegraph is the first
The French
electric.
didn't invent the
Yes, they did. They, of course,
Germans did.
they
It
invented good
wasn't.
wine. Germans just made some pissy shit, Protestant shit. Like Heineken. Ugh.
Anywho,
Yeah. Anyhow, so we're ending up at beer this time instead of the sex. Well, it's
so
beer
no,
and wine.
we had a good topic going, and then something happened. We had a good topic about AI and elders, but then something happened. What did happen? So where did we go
Elders,
wrong? Yeah, where did we go wrong, Andrew, in this
elders,
conversation?
and we started to talk about Germans. That's where we went wrong. Was what if there's something that goes wrong? It's you have to blame it on the Germans because they're the root of all evil, basically. Anything bad, Protestantism, Germans, okay? Germans did it,
I have to go
Luther.
now. I have to go
Wow.
now.
You have to
I
run.
suddenly have a meeting coming up in 5 minutes.
The Germans are responsible for all the modern evils of the world, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We're Satan, so
Whereas the French, on the other hand,
they invented gayness, that's for sure.
they invented gayness, they invented fun, they invented fashion. They invented Versace. They invented women dressing to look like men. They invented prostitution, probably. No, I'm just kidding. Can-can dancing.
What are
I love the
the
French. I just love the French. They're
what is
just the best.
the legislative, corpus regarding prostitutes in France? Is it still allowed or it's forbidden or what is it?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know. I think maybe you're more liberal in Germany than we are here, so strangely enough, but I don't even know. But I read a lot of Henry Miller when I was in my 20s, so
Sure. This is
I have a
episode 150, and at least in half of those episodes, we talked about our love of Henry Miller.
yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. I'm sorry if I repeat myself, Tom.
Everybody of
It's
our
because I'm an
80s.
elder. I'm old and
Yes,
senile. I
everybody
just
of our
repeat the
88
same
listeners
shit.
knows by now that we love Henry Miller.
Yeah, we have more than we have at least 10,000 listeners, Tom. Come
Yeah, we have at least 10,000. Yes,
Don't say that.
something between 88 and 10,000.
And we don't ramble. We talk about profound things.
Yes.
Get the truth. The truth's right here at Predilects View.
Yes. Yes. I think we got it for today, Andrew.
We got. We can't go any further, hey?
No, there's
Okay.
nothing.
There's nothing more to say. Just
No,
it's
there's
just
nothing
all
more to say.
downhill from here. It's just
Yeah. No, we already reached the end of the rope.
everything nice that we said, everything interesting that we said is over, and we're just
Yeah,
like it's like when
already.
the party's over, there's like beer bottles and
Yeah.
cigarette ash things everywhere, and it's like, okay, guys, go home. You've
Yeah.
done it. It's
We talked so much shit, all the interesting stuff has got lost in the digital void by now, you know? So.
Okay, Tom.
Or to make it to end it on a helpful note, in 500,000 years, when all the AI avatars sit together, two idiots walking in, emulating Andrew and Tom, and start to talk about cock and cunt. So maybe that will happen too.
Eternal return of the same.
The eternal recurrence of the same. Exactly. I wonder
This is
what we
familiar. I've
meant
been
by
here
this. Yes.
before. What? We'll just project ourselves infinitely into the future and have the same conversation over and over again,
Yeah.
like some kind of Twilight Zone episode, or yeah, like that episode of Star Trek where they're kind of like they're stuck. in time or something, and they kept repeating the same things.
Yeah, great
There's
episode.
probably been quite a few of those, but
Yeah.